after vaccination.
For more information, visit quebec.ca/youthvaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I tried it. I couldn't fight it. Now I just want to get back to me. Oh, baby. Ooh, back into the man I used to be. I tried it. I couldn't fight it. Now I just want to get back to me. Oh, baby. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Back into the man I used to be.
Things that I said I wouldn't do, I did them. Secrets below the surface, the truth, I hid them. As mankind has passed, I couldn't erase the tears of a million years. As human race of animals that talk and walk upright, the slave all day and fall into trance at night. Roaming the planet, trying to find missing links, like the men we used to be and are we supposed to think? Mysteries, maybe not. It's getting hot, we better configure the plot. But I hold a pen with the grip so tight that I squeeze the ink down to the page and write a song for the people. Came up from the underground, now I ride above on a hovercraft of sound. This microphone like an amphetamine, keeping me clean, speaking in dreams so nature can intervene. It's all received.
I tried it, I couldn't fight it. Now I just wanna get back to me. Oh, baby.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and our guest this evening is no stranger to Soul P Airwaves. Jamila J. Joseph is an interdisciplinary artist based in Montreal, Georgia, a past recipient of Black Theatre Workshop's Victor Phillips Award in 2002. Jamila has continued performing, creating, and learning, telling her stories and sharing her expression throughout her work. In 2015, Jamila started J Dance, a dance facilitation / dance performance company, and has produced and co-produced shows for both stage and theater at local venues around the city. Jamila, thank you for being on the air with us this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. First of all, thank you for having me.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
Of course, because I've been seeing you doing things, you know, you've been up on social media, you've been involved in different organizations. So, you know, I was like, yo, we have to get Jamila on to talk about what's been going on. And like since the pandemic, we've been doing a little bit of a different format for the show. So first of all, let's do a check-in. How are you doing? Because, you know, it's been a crazy couple of years.
Yes.
We were on lockdown for a long time. People weren't going anywhere. How have you been? Like, what's the pandemic been like for you?
I've been okay. It definitely started rocky because when it first hit, I was actually in Toronto.
Okay.
I was working with DanceWorks Toronto, and so I was back and forth between Montreal and Toronto. So when everything actually hit, I was in Toronto, and so that was kind of like, okay, what's happening?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had things happen in the past, like flus and this happening and this happening,
yeah.
And we've kind of felt like a small degree of it, but this was like,
yeah,
okay, something serious is happening. It's like everybody's got to wear masks, you got to stay away, and like, and at that time, we didn't know actually what was happening. We just
yeah.
knew something was going on all around the world. And so luckily I was with somebody who, you know, is a close friend of mine. So I was lucky to be at least in an environment that we can both kind of be agitated and, you know, together
yeah.
and kind of help each other feel safe and okay.
Yeah.
But it was tough at first, and just being away from my family and, you know, hearing the news every day that this was getting locked off, that was getting locked off. It was like, okay, is it best to just stay where I'm at? Do I go back home? Do I risk traveling? Do I risk bringing whatever I may have with me to, you know, back to my family?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of trying at first, you know, but then, you know, my mom was like, I don't care how old you are, I don't care where you are, bring a tail home.
Mm.
Right? Like when mama calls and it's like, come home.
Yeah, you need to be with us. Yeah.
You, okay, packing up my stuff. I'm like, but you know, consider this. She's like, the only thing I'm considering is that you're my child and you need to be in the same city.
Wow.
So you need to come home.
Yeah.
So came home, and, you know, it was just, you know, making sure that we all stay safe. And for the most part, my family, we kind of stick to ourselves in a sense where being in a lockdown seemed different, but we kind of already lived in worlds where we were kind of at home and went from one place straight home and stuff like that.
Right.
But I know it was kind of difficult for my mom, and she's more of a
social butterfly,
up and go and do things. So
yeah,
I know it was tough for her. Everybody had to work from home. But you know, we were blessed to have each other. Everybody stayed safe. Everybody stayed healthy. You know, just took our vitamins, did our exercise, you know, got our minerals in, tried to keep our immune system together, and try to stay sane. Like, I got into planting big time.
Okay.
I learned actually that one of my mechanisms when I guess I'm worried or something is I give myself things to do.
Right.
And,
right,
you know, so I piled on my plate of, I have to keep moving. I have to keep sane. I got to keep logical and critical and try not to like panic or anything like that.
Mm.
So I got into yoga. I got into herb medicine and planting, and I started growing a lot of crops indoors, and that kept me together.
Okay.
Built a crystal collection.
Okay.
Books. I just needed to like fill myself with like learning and new things. And I was like, okay, I need to stay. The best way to stay sane and grounded is just think of things that I like to do.
Right.
And try to fill as many things. Cause I know after a while, things that you like to do start feeling like a chore, and
mm-hmm.
then you lose your interest
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
And kind of lose focus and drift to other things. So I was just like, okay, let me just think of things that you know, maybe I wanted to do and couldn't do or didn't have time to do because I was so busy moving,
running up and down.
Yeah, doing this and doing that. So, yeah, I just got into some other activities that, like, I thought of, like, as a kid. I'm like, oh, I like to do this. I like to draw and I like to plant. And my mom always had flowers around. Let me propagate some plants that are already in the house and see how many I could duplicate. And let me learn yoga and just some other crafts, like, technically as well, because everything became online. So it was like, okay, where can I do dance classes online? And I got into Alvin Ailey. They have they started an online program.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was amazing. I always wanted to go to New York and dance at the Alvin Ailey Center, and they started having classes online, and so I started doing that as well. So just trying to stay in shape, because once you start sitting and not moving, and especially when you're used to already, you know, movement is active, my career is a part of my career, and it's like not having it was like I was starting to feel stiff, and I was like, no, I have to keep moving somehow. So I just filled my plate with things and then realized that's tiring me out on top of everything that I'm trying to avoid that's going on in society, you know? So then I just was like, just rest. I put things down and I was like, just rest.
Okay, so it was so a like mix you kind of like took a lot on your plate and wanted to remain active. And then after a while it was like, whoa, no, I need a break.
Yeah, I was like, good, what are you that's doing? A good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing though sometimes, because sometimes one of the things that I've learned especially over the course of the pandemic, is that sometimes your body tells you enough is enough.
Yeah. You know? That's so it. You it's reach like that you need point. To, who are you doing this for?
Right.
Who are you doing this for? It's like you're actually being forced to be still. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
You're being forced to be still on a global scale, and I'm still trying to compile my plate.
Right.
With things to do within the space, the little space that I've now been ultra confined to.
Right.
And then when I started, like, because I'm already an overthinker, so I'm always just like in my head, retrospection, like in my head. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, my brain started getting tired of like all the things I was trying to learn and remember and write down and this, and I had an essay to do and this. And I'm like, this is actually not helping me.
Too much.
Overload.
Right.
You know, and then I had to stop, and I was like, oh, okay, this is something that I do. It's like instead of, you know, when they say you push things away out of sight, out of mind, right? Like, that's kind of what I did. But I tried to do it in a nice bundle where it's like, well, no, well, it's out of sight, out of mind, because I'm doing other things and creative and da-da-da. But it's like, regardless of what it is, you're still adding something to your plate, something for your mind to be focused on and thinking and running all the time. And it's like, everything is around us is already running, like the chaos of just what was going on. It was like, you don't need that within your own space.
Right.
So it's like, it's okay to just be still, to literally let your mind drift off into nothing, to like do nothing for like a part of your day. And I even know that sounds kind of funny, because it's like you're in a pandemic, you're trying to figure out, how am I going to survive? Where do you have time to just sit and be like, oh, I'm going to think about nothing for a minute?
But you got like, the time to do that, because a lot of the pandemic was a lockdown. You know, you weren't allowed to go out, especially since January, February, you know, when we had the curfew and it was like, oh, you can't be outside after 8 p.m., which I'm kind of wishing that we still had that, because when there's like certain times when I go out and there's just so many people, I'm like, yo, where are y'all going?
Yeah. It's really people-y out here. Like, it's really people-y. Yesterday, I was out and I was just like, people are out here living their lives. For a second I almost forgot, you know, and then the mask brought me back and I was like,
oh, everybody's you know? Wearing
but I'm
masks,
like, people so out
but there's a lot of people out and about living their lives as normally as they can during this situation.
That's it.
So yeah. One thing you didn't really mention in your bio is that you're actually a multidisciplinary artist, right?
Yes.
Because we've known each other for quite a while, so I can speak to that. You know,
thank
I can
you.
Be like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, mm-hmm. you're actually not saying all of this because you started off in dance. Correct me if
yes.
I'm wrong.
Yes.
Because your father is actually a dancer, and so that was kind of like the first little beginning. And then you're also a singer, songwriter.
Yes.
And then, you know, you kind of, like you said, you built and continued to accumulate different artistic mm-hmm. Skills. So tell us a little yeah. bit about that, because your father's actually a legend in the dance community.
Like, yes, Selwyn Joseph Selico from Digo.
Yeah.
Yes. So my father, Selwyn Joseph, came to Canada in 1967. He was a part of the group that came to represent the Trinidad and Tobago Pavilion at Expo 67.
Yep. And it's important to note that Expo 67 was on the island there, ¿cómo se llama? Vela. Where La Ronde is, Île Sainte-Hélène.
Yes.
Which was actually created from all of the dirt that was dug out to make the metro.
You know, that sounds accurate for...
but like, it's the truth, though. Like, they had to dig out all of this dirt to make the metro.
I mean, recycling, right? Why not?
One time.
The
first ecological... something or the other created in Montreal in the river. Yeah.
There we go. And look at what it held.
Yeah.
Look at what it had
so, yeah.
upon itself. Yeah.
So yeah, your dad came for Expo 67.
Mm-hmm. And so from there he started, he went back to Trinidad, came back here and started teaching Afro-Caribbean dance around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And met my mother, who was also in the arts, actress, singer as well. She was a part of Black Theatre Workshop at the very, very early beginning, her and my aunt, Elizabeth Armini. And so I was born into, you know, arts and culture and started dancing with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, and singing with my mom. And then I went into classical ballet. I trained in classical ballet at Place des Arts with Studio La Vallière for 10 years. And then I continued my dance training at Lauryn Hill Academy in the We Dance program with Miss Marianthus and Paul Bertrand. And from there, I got to learn actually a lot of styles through the We Dance program. We got to do so much. We traveled to Toronto. We got to learn Broadway and modern and jazz and Simonson. And it was really fun. And from there, I actually in high school towards the end, I think it was one of those things where I overfilled my plate.
Yeah.
I did, like, I ate dance. Like, I ate it, I slept it, I breathed it, I drank it. Everything was dance. You know, I would have a class during the week, after school with Studio La Vallière, and in school I had dance as a course, and then I had after school dance, and then I was a part of the dance troupe. So it was just dance all the time. And then if it wasn't that, it was, you know, learning a choreography that my dad or my mom put together to dance
right.
at the St. Kitts and Nevis Association or some event in the community. So it was just dance, dance, dance. And honestly, I got to a point where it started to feel like a chore.
Right.
Unfortunately, I think it was also just a mix of just things that were personally going on with me that kind of just, I ran to dance, and then it got to a point where it was like,
it was too much.
I felt like it was being tainted by what I was dealing with, and
right.
I didn't want to associate the two together. So I kind of just like stopped dancing for a while. Okay. I was also dealing with like knee injuries. I deal with a leg that dislocates at times.
Right.
So I was dealing with like leg problems and injuries and stuff like that. The dancers go through, you know what I mean? But I think I kind of rode the wave of kind of just, okay, this is my out for a minute, you know, like, so let me take a breather from this and kind of just see what it feels like to be, you know, quote unquote, a regular kid, you know, okay. Like I didn't have like the Saturday morning cartoons and hanging out with your friends after school at the mall and stuff like that, because I always had dance class, yeah, or
had a project going,
some sort of activity
to go to. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So like when I was 18, 19, I was like, oh, I kind of just want to not do anything.
Right.
You know, I kind of just want to not do and just see what that does. And it actually brought me my voice. It brought my voice to me. That's when I started singing, because I had always written poetry also, because my mom, she writes poetry. Mm-hmm. And that was always fun. That was always fun for me, excuse me. And so I was just like, okay, so let me just get into writing. And I just started writing, and it went from poetry to song. I was like, okay, how do I elevate? How do I challenge myself? I'm like, okay, let me take this poem and make it bigger, make it longer. I could turn this into a song. I could sing a melody. I could, right. You know what I mean? And so I would always just come up with melodies in my head and just start writing lyrics. And that's where I found my voice. And then I was like, I think I could do this. It was less about how I sounded and more what I was saying. Mm-hmm. A lot of my therapy session happened in my writing sessions.
Okay.
And it was therapeutic for me. So I was like, my songs are so personal. I don't even see how I would be able, my ego would allow someone else to sing it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I have to sing my own songs, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm also very shy, you know, like dancing is, you know, you share a lot, but it's nonverbal.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's usually someone else's choreography, right?
That too, yeah. And even if it's my own choreography, it's like I'm, the fact that I can let you know how I'm feeling without speaking is like, I enjoyed that. And so it was kind of challenging actually going into singing, because I was like, I actually have to stand in front of people and speak.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that was a little jarring, but I was also just like, performance is performance. And I know how I feel when I get on a stage.
Right.
And I'm like, just remember that and like, you'll be okay. So I was just like, let me just, just wherever I could get a gig, mm-hmm. I would get a gig. You gave me a lot of my gigs.
I did.
Kim. Yeah, you did. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
You did.
I don't even remember. I'm just like, yo, stage artist, put you on a stage. That's
get
it.
There. That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so then I was singing and then got back into dance, because I was like, the want for it came back.
Yeah.
I was like,
it started
okay, all
knocking
that other
on
stuff.
Your door again, and you're
yeah.
like, oh yeah, I kind of
like
you too.
You, that's it. Like I never quite forgot about it. Even when I was singing, I had like backup dancers, you
right.
know, and I would cut in some of my songs. I would dance as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was there, but after a while, it was like, okay. And I also think whatever I needed to get off toxicity wise
right.
got off through like singing and writing out whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to a place where I was like, okay, I think I found my milieu where this marriages with this. And I think I understand where I'm going in regards to performance and artists and what I'm trying to do. And then I started working at Black Theater Workshop. And, met great people, Quincy, Warona, Adele, and, you know, just was like, I need to start speaking into existence the things that I'm trying to do for myself, even if I'm not sure how to get there or
yeah.
how it's going to work out.
Yeah.
But I was like, I need to stay in this creative,
space.
Artistic place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need to just start talking about things that make me nervous, but I always wanted to do. And so I was just loud about, I always wanted to like act or do this or try this out. And mm-hmm. I would really love to have an opportunity to do anything like theater wise, because, you know, with my mom and my aunt, like they were at Black Theater Workshop, they were in it. And for me, it's like a place where, and I think also for the culture, like Caribbean culture, I feel like it already is that.
Yeah.
You know, like performance art, like the theater, the song, the dance, like all of that is like kind of what we are.
Yeah, and it's a part of our liberty.
That's it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I would love to live in there and just see what it's like to live
see
in there.
Happens.
And
see where it
that's
goes.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I got an acting gig thrown at me. Winona was like, you know, they're doing a production of For Colored Girls at McGill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, go, you know, they don't, they're looking for professional, unprofessional, trained, untrained, you know, go and see how you feel.
Yeah.
And go and try it out.
Yeah.
And I did. I was so scared. I was so, my introvert was like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, whose permission did you ask right. to do this? Because your extrovert is like, oh, yeah, fun. But it's like, both of us are going to be on stage, sis.
I like that.
You know, and I had to like, really like calm myself and be like, it's okay. It's for the overall picture. Like, you know, I had mm-hmm. to talk myself through my own bad chat, my own bad mind,
right.
you know what I mean? Or my own insecurities or wanting to stay small or whatever. Right. And I had to talk myself through it. And I went and I just did it. And I got the part and it was fantastic.
Mm. Mm. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Jamila J. Joseph, who's an interdisciplinary artist based in Montreal, Georgia. We do have to take a quick break and pay some bills. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
You see the beast that's waiting, that's what I'm saying, them not playing live.
One that the police are just people with guns. I mean people with funds and guns, given the power of blood to lick a shot in the street and get the people to run. What? When the cop dies, we all mortified. But when the cop kills, he don't need no alibi. I'm not saying that they should be flawless. I'm saying that the world is lawless because it's just young knuckleheads power tripping with their tools. Who they serving that protect the brother? Not you, not you. Why you think they call them Babylon? Cause they just agents of the system. Twist one up, get your fist up in the air. The Alabama Villanueva, I sing a prayer. I wonder, do they include all the police murders when they go and calculate the murder rate each year?
You see the beast that's praying, that's what I'm saying. They're not playing live. Heaven help them, heaven help them, heaven help them, heaven help them. Say the money, money, call a bank, I'm ready to drop.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the Community Contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson and our guest this evening is Jamila J. Joseph, just like multidisciplinary artist, when we last left the conversation, she had kind of transitioned from dance into song, and then made her way back to Black Theater Workshop because she got an award from Black Theater Workshop.
Yes.
Back in 2002. You know,
full circle things.
You know, over a decade later, come right back to the theater. And, you know, her mom was involved in the theater. Her father is a dancer. So it's just kind of where, you know, you go back to your roots, as you say in the Caribbean. You go back to your roots to find out, you know, who you are. In the last segment, you spoke about kind of you were dealing with a lot of stuff in that dance. You know, while you were dealing with dance, it became a bit of a chore, you said. Could you tell us a little bit, what do you mean you were dealing with things? What were you dealing with?
So in high school, I won't overly elaborate, but in high school, I had experienced something quite traumatic.
Right.
And that pretty much, I mean, already in high school, you're dealing with hormones and a whole bunch of other stuff that we don't understand.
Yeah. and you're Black in a white society, and like children are just crappy people sometimes, you know.
Right, exactly.
And you're growing up and you're trying to find yourself.
I was lucky, actually. My first year of high school, I had my sister was there for 1 year, and I was like, oh, that's great. And it's not that it got hard when she left, but it was not having that support, just knowing that somebody's in the building that's like got your back, like nobody's got your back, right? But yeah, I wasn't like overly bullied or anything, but like the things that I was dealing with were like somewhat external from school. The things that were internal, the microaggressions of teachers that don't get who you are. And
this was in the dance community?
Not in the dance. The dance, actually, in high school, the dance saved me.
Okay.
With what was going on externally, it was my, it was actually Miss Marianthus, my dance teacher, and who ran the dance program, who kind of noticed that something was off and sheltered me. Dance became
your safe place,
my safe place, you know. But I think because I ran to it so much, and I was running away from things, that pain started leaking into my safe world.
Was it because you weren't dealing with, because you were running away from whatever issues you were dealing with? Is that why it was leaking into dance?
I was running away because it had to be non-existent. Right. It didn't have to exist. Mm-hmm. So it was the pretending that something was not happening when it was happening.
Right.
And so it was just, I couldn't act out on what was going on.
Right.
So it was like, the moments where I was acting out, it was just, oh, well, she's just acting out because
she's a teenager.
She's a bad kid, whatever the case may be, you know. And at the time, I didn't really care. As a kid, you don't really care. You're just like, they don't get it, whatever. And you're not really realizing that you're trying to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
When your world is not normal, you know. And I just want to say, it's not my family environment as well.
Right.
My family, there was nothing going on within my household. It was just, you know, being a kid and being in the wrong environments, in the wrong circles, and just getting into shit that you have no business getting into shit in, and the repercussions.
Yeah. Because people forget that, like, yes, you have a family and you live with your family, but you don't spend your entire day with your family.
Like, mm-hmm.
Especially if you're going to school as a teenager, you know. Whether it is that you have, like you said, you had a plethora of classes and projects and stuff that you were doing. So sometimes, you know, you spend this much, you spend maybe an hour or two with your family between getting home to supper, and then you go back to bed, and you get up again, you might have breakfast with your family, and then you're out the door, you know, like...
That's it.
You're not spending that much time.
Correct, and I think even if you are, I think if you're trying to hide, your family is not where you want to be, because they
will
know,
see everything.
And they see, and yeah, you don't want that. You don't want them to know or see.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, you don't want, because then it's like they're asking questions that you don't want to answer, and you're not really sure, you know. And I know my parents are like, you know, I have a very loving family and very supportive, but I think when you're young, you don't normally... Sometimes you don't think that you can go to your parents or you can go to your family with things, and then you find out when you get older, it's like,
why you never tell me about that? Or I saw that.
Of course,
but I
could have. The most you would have done is gotten mad or gotten whatever. But I mean, you get older. Like, I'm older, and I'm like, oh, my family would have had my back like nobody else. But it's like at the time when you're 15, 16.
You don't want to get angry.
You don't want to get anyone involved. You don't want to disrupt. You just want to keep it.
That's so interesting. Because I don't know. I don't know. About like any other community apart from ours, but like we don't talk to our parents about the difficulties that we're going through. Like me, for example, I was bullied a lot in school, and it wasn't until I got into like a huge physical altercation that required like me going to the hospital and all of that that I ever told my parents. And I went through, like, moving back to Jamaica, I went through 3 years of bullying, like everything from like knife being pulled out on me and stuff like that. I never spoke to my parents about this,
right?
You know, and I wonder what is that mentality of, like, we are, as children, are going through all of these issues, and we make this conscious decision that we're not gonna carry this home with us. We're not gonna like let our family know, the ones who are supposed to protect us from all of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't let them know about it. And I do wonder, why is that? Why don't we just be like, yo, I'm going through some stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a mix of it. I think we have our own ways of saying that we are going through stuff that may come off light. I think there's a thing with Black people that we just, it's this idea of not being vulnerable, even in the places where we're allowed to be, which is our family. And for some people, it's not the case. So it's just that this idea of having to always be tough, have to always get through, you know, you gotta keep going. I think it's a watching it from our parents, you know, kind of like ingrained in us, because that's kind of like, you know, because the moments where we do mention something that may seem big to us, excuse me, but not so big to them, they're like, well, back in my day, I had to, you know, that type
when
of,
I
and I don't
young,
even
I
think when
to.
They say it, that I don't even think they understand what they do when they say that.
Right.
I think it's the ingrained, well, it's tough, things get tough, but we gotta get through. You see, we got through, you just gotta keep pushing. And that's that thing that we always do. Mm-hmm. And it's just...
You just keep your head
down.
We
don't even think about it.
Forward.
It's unconscious, you know? We just move that way. And, you know, I don't wanna cause any worry. I don't wanna bring anything here. I don't want to, you know, it's always this second guessing of how to go about feeling safe or whatever. So, it's very interesting, but it's definitely something that I've noticed as well, is that we don't talk about things, but I think with kids in general, they don't talk.
Yeah.
I think as a society, we don't talk, or when we do, it's in a jokey way, or we throw it around in a manner where, you know, if it lands and someone hears it, then cool. But if not, then I didn't say it, you know, and you keep going, right?
Yeah.
Because the disappointment,
like, what
is
did
you
say
something. Right, because that's it. It's the disappointment of saying something that means something to you and doesn't necessarily mean something to someone else. That, especially when you're not in your strongest place,
right,
could be really like shattering for people. So it's like you rather just keep it to yourself and make the best of it. Which you know, it's really just throwing dirt under a rug until a pimple pops.
Right. Right. And so you channeled whatever you were going through art. So because you mentioned that your art became therapeutic, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was your writing that became therapeutic, your songwriting that helped you get through it.
My voice, yeah, that's right. It. Because it's the first time where it's like it was my interpretation of what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling, you know, because as a student of dance, especially classical ballet, it's like you have a format to follow.
Yeah.
And this, and this is somebody else's thing, and you do it like this. And even this somebody else's thing wasn't created for you, but okay, you're doing it.
Yeah.
You're here, you know. I think also the wanting to speak was, even in ballet, like I felt like I was being held back. Mm. Sometimes I think about that. I'm like, is this my own ego saying, well, I was really good, they should have done more? But I'm like, no, I feel like I was held back, and leaving the program and then getting into singing allowed me to say, this is what I'm feeling, this is how I see things, this is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And nobody can tell me nothing.
Right.
Like, nobody, you can't can say nothing. This is
right.
This is my voice. This is me.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell me I did it wrong. Or, and I know in regards to song, I'm also not going to disrespect the art form of song and singing. Right. But even learning that in song, you have your own style, just like in dance, you have your own style. And I kind of just gravitated to whatever my essence was. And I'm like, whatever I am right now in this moment, it's like, okay, I didn't go to school for singing, I didn't go to school for this, but I have this, and I'm just going to present it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to be okay with whatever it is. Yeah. And just put it out there. And if people react to it, that's fantastic. If they don't like it, everybody has their reasons why, and that's absolutely fine. And for those that it touches, that's who I care about.
Yeah, that's who you're speaking to.
That's it. Yeah. So
awesome.
And then it was just like, I was so fortunate that, you know, coming into theater, that all the pieces that I was a part of were like super strong Black voice, female Black voice. I'm speaking, this is what I gotta say, this is how I'm doing it, you know, all Black cast. And I realized that that's a privilege. There was a lot of people who are like, I've had to deal with all of these other things, you know, in acting and dealing with being a Black person in a form that's not always designed for our stories or how we go about saying things, and the uncomfortability that some people have had to go through. And I was very fortunate that, the universe kind of was like, we see this wave that you're on, this journey that you're going through, and it just aligned things in the right way with the right stories and the right people, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. So you have quite the how do we say this, the repertoire when it comes to theater.
Theater.
you joined the cast of How Black Mothers Say I Love You, written by Trey Anthony for Black Theater Workshop in 2019. You were in Nicole Brooks' a cappella musical Obia Opera, which was based in Toronto.
Yes.
And that was your first like official stage role. And then
How
your
Black
first
Mother, well
For Colored Girls.
For Colored Girls, yeah.
For Colored Girls. Was Ntots... Ntozake Shanges. So Shanges for Colored Girls, which was the McGill University performance that was back in 2017.
It was 2017, and then we did...
an encore presentation.
We did an encore presentation, the cast itself.
And that was at the May.
At the May, yes.
Yes. So, like, you decided to do this, you know, you were like, go big or go home with this theater thing. Because, I mean, these are not small productions, you know. For Colored Girls is a really big production.
Yeah.
And you can always correct me if I'm wrong, but... For Colored Girls, it's like it's a series of interspersed monologues and poems of like really deep conversations ranging from motherhood, sexual violence, relationships, domestic violence, like
y'all were talking about
mental health issues, you know? So I think go hard or go home is like one of your life mottos. You know, How Black Mothers Say I Love You was produced in many different places, in many different cities. It's an acclaimed play. Obia Opera was pretty big from what I saw as well.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, you don't take on little beanie projects, you know.
Well, you know. the journey. It's been a blessing. It really has been a blessing. It's been a beautiful, wild ride, like learning a la max, like the experience just all there. And I've just been trying to like soak it up. But yeah, I've been very, 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 very fortunate to just be able to be a part of like such meaningful work.
Mm.
Like the work is so meaningful. Every single story, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and just being able to do what I love, you know, I remember one year I was like, I don't care how crazy this sounds to anybody, but it's like any job offer, if it's not in regards to art, theater, performance, I'm not doing it, you know, and it
Forget
sounded
about
crazy.
It.
Right? It sounded crazy, and it's like it was really tough. It's tough. You know what I mean? When you're not working like a consistent regular job at a legit place that like can sustain you for a while. But it was like, because I knew what I wanted to do and I knew what it took. And I knew that if I, and it's not to say that it can't be done because, you know, artists are doing it all the time, working full-time jobs, doing this, doing that. And you know, like I'm in awe. And I was just like, I don't know if I could run myself like that,
right.
You know, already with like everything that like I've put myself through, through life this far. And also I was just like, I knew that if I worked a full-time job, you know, at a company where it pays great, there's benefits, but I'm not necessarily doing what I like, but I'm doing something because, you know, it's providing. But then what if I get a gig? Like, what if I was working a full-time job and then Obia Offer came, you know, or How Black Mothers came, and it was like, I need this time off. And my boss is like, sorry.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? I was like,
you need that flexibility.
I'm putting my life in somebody, this other person's hands who has no regard for what my future will look like. It's just a number to him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's cool. If that's your bag, that's your bag. But I was like, no, I have to be able to drop everything at a drop of a hat and go wherever I need to go. You know, even in regards to teaching, it's like, yeah, I could teach dance classes. But then when I think about how I want to set up teaching classes in a program, you know, being consistent and being with my students, is important. You know, I've watched that with my dad, and I've watched, you know, the rapport and the relationships that you build with your students. And I'm like, again, if an opportunity came up where they're like, hey, you can go do Obia Opera or go, you know, or I can do my own production and I know it's going to take me this amount of time and I'm not going to be able to do my classes, like that would, I can't leave my students like, oh, sorry, we're going to go on a break until, or get a replacement. It's not the way that I want to maneuver. So I'm like, unless I'm ready to do all of those things the way I want it, I have to put a blind eye to certain things that make sense, I guess.
Right.
To be able to place everything that I need to place. I'm like, and I'm so happy that I did that, because then when all these opportunities came, I was ready.
Yeah.
I was ready. I'm there. You know,
you're
like
ready to rock and roll.
When I found, yeah, when I saw the announcement, I saw the announcement for Obie Opera through Westcan, actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like auditions next week, Toronto, this time. And I was like, I don't know how I'm getting there.
Done.
I don't know where I'm staying, but I'm going. Like,
yeah.
I'm gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And my dad was like, well, what about this? And I'm like, when you were coming here for Expo 67, did you worry about this? You were just like, I'm gone. Opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm out.
The door is, I'm opening the door and I'm walking through it.
That's it. I'm like, at least I'm not going to another country. I'm like, what you did was huge. Like, you left one part of the world and came over here, you know? I'm like, I'm going to another city. And I'm like, you know, with the things I've been through in my life, I'm sure I can figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can figure this out. I can get this done, no problem. And I'm like, you know, no matter what the answer is, I could say that I saw that. I wanted to do it. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
no regrets.
I was like, that's how I have to. I'm like, I have to stay thinking that way, or
right.
else I'm just gonna like get lazy on my dreams, and I don't want to ever get to a point and say, I wish I want to have less of those conversations.
Right.
As
no
I
regrets.
Get older, I
no
wish
regrets.
I did that. You know what I mean? And it's
yeah.
like, yeah, at least I could say I tried it,
yeah.
you know, like I tried to get there. I tried to do this. I tried to do that. And you know, whether it works or it doesn't, it's like, just try. And like, that has just kind of been like my motto, like just jump, just
right.
leap,
right.
just leap. And it's scary. You know what I mean? And sometimes I'm like, Jamila, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You can't live like this. But then it's like,
no,
why
you can
not?
Live, you can live any way that you want to.
Exactly. I'm like, why not? Who are these voices? Who said that? Why? Like, I can understand from different perspectives how that makes sense. But I'm like, none of those perspectives matter to the perspective of how I see what I want for myself.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, it's just like full steam ahead, and it's
yes.
just everything is just lined up. It's
yep.
been a blessing, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obviously doing the work, but it's just like, it's a blessing.
Yeah. That, what you said reminds me of like, because I listen to motivational, like when I'm exercising, when I'm running or whatever, I listen to motivation quotes. And one of my favorite ones, this guy says, you know, he says, I don't have orchestrated plans about where I'm going or how I'm going to do or what I want to do. I just have an idea of what it is that I want to accomplish. And I just go there.
Go.
Whatever I have
mm-hmm.
to do, I just go there. And it sounds like you kind of live your life like that, and I can
mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that a lot as a producer as well. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time this evening, you are listening to Soul Perspectives. We are speaking to Jamila J. Joseph, multidisciplinary artist who has journeyed from dance to song and poetry and therapy and eventually got back to theater. We do have to take a break because, you know, this is radio. We have to play some music. We have to pay some bills. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
You should just give me that. Give me like all them rewards. Give me that worldwide tour. Give me that brand new Accord. Give me like all that coin. Yeah. You could walk in my shoes, then you just stay for the view. Cause how I see is so cool. I don't see her or you. Irresistible, mad huggable, fluffy with the silly flows. Non-negotiable, wild and like an animal. Out in Istanbul, I'm a bull. Staying quiet though. They can't wait for more, but you got it though. I don't control. of time. Time might control me, but that's a rhyme for a different time and story. And I'll be just in time to sit and bask in all my glory. Everything I want is mine for what you got for me. You should just give me that. 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 Give me like all them rewards. Give me that worldwide tour. Give me that brand new Accord. Give me like all that coin. I'm a boss, yeah. I want $1 million couches just to rent in. Buy up all my family's houses. Ain't doing it here for fun. I'm a serious one. So what if I don't run? My body really good.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Bring it back. She said, put it in. So, so. Shawty come now, let it rain down. Put it in. So, so. Pity pat. Give me that. Put it back. So, so. Put it back in like so, so. Put it back in like so, so. Bring it back. Bring it back. Bring it back. So, so. You got voodoo. I got buku. Put it back in like susu. Put it back in like susu. Put it back in like susu. I gotta come in like. Bring it back around like susu. Bring it back around like fubu. Shawty come get that ooh ooh ooh. Pound it down like fufu. Oh yeah. I'm like unu. Unu you know juju. Chakra feel like nunu. Shaka like I'm Zulu. Oh yeah, Mike. Rain on me, come again. Swank on me, come again. Shake that weave, that 3A, baby, that 4C. See my baby, some days I don't wanna be cheap. See my baby, let get hella rich and go hot in these sheets. Get your ones up, get your cake too. Give me some, yeah, I wanna taste too. The world is fucked up, we fuck our way through. The world is fucked up, so we fuck our way through. It's okay, she said, put it in. So, so, shawty come now, let it rain down.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Our guest this evening is Jamila J. Joseph. Jamila, this has been quite the conversation, quite the journey. I feel like it's like the beginning of your autobiography that we're composing here.
Hey, speak it into existence.
Hey, you know. So on the last note, like the note that you left us with was, you know, just leap. When you have an idea for where you're going, you just kind of leap and go into it, because, you know, a couple of the guests that I've spoken to in the past few weeks talked about imposter syndrome and all that. You're just like, forget all of that. I'm here. This is my town.
I'm going to just do and see where that takes me.
Right. And with that, so many opportunities have opened up for you. I mean, you're currently, you choreographed the acting class, I believe. Last week they presented Venus by Susan Laurie Parks. Is that correct?
That is correct. So the graduating class of 2022 put on a production of Venus. Yes, with the National Theater School. Yes, their acting program. Their graduating class put on the production of Venus. And so I had the honor and pleasure of choreographing the lead character, Rena Jolly, who is playing Venus, Sarchi Bartman. Mm-hmm. And so I had the privilege of doing that, and opening night was last week, and it was a great experience, being able to be a mentor and a coach, and I had a great time, directed by Mike Payette. Can't forget that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike Payette, that Montreal has lost to Toronto. Oh, gosh. No, we didn't lose him, you know.
We lent him
to them. But shout out to Mike Payette, and yeah, good luck in all your future endeavors.
Yes.
So, but also recently, you were welcomed into the kind of co-production kind of joint force between Playwrights Workshop of Montreal and the MAI, which is Montréal Art Interculturel, which is a joint support for artists. And you were the recipient for your work called The Roots.
Wild Roots.
The
yes.
Roots. Wild Roots. I'm thinking yes. The Roots from back in the 80s.
Right?
Wild Roots. What is yeah. Wild Roots?
Wild Roots is a crazy tale. It's a tale of a young lady going through a healing journey, and kind of coming to terms and, you know, finding and exploring spirituality and connection to self and just kind of finding herself more and more. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are on that journey. It's just a glimpse into, you know, this world of hers and looking at different perspectives and how one can go about dealing with, you know, just life when it's hard, when it's confusing, and dealing with ourselves. You know, there's a lot going on externally, but it's a lot. Everything is internal. Mm-hmm. Everything is internal and then, you know, comes out the other way. So it's, you know, how does one deal with themselves? And how does one heal and move, and what can that look like? Because it has very different views. It can look very different, and it's not timed, and it's not in a set time either.
Right.
You know, it's something that I personally believe is something you're going through your whole life, you know. Your entire life journey is some sort of a healing journey, bringing you back to yourself if you're on the path to see, you know, what's there for you to see. So yeah. That's kind of the project. It's inspired by my own journey, mm-hmm. you know, and what I've been able to do to kind of help myself and just the questions that I still have. That I think could be beneficial maybe for other people, mm-hmm. To experience, to see a new perspective, a new way of viewing, how to deal, basically.
Right.
And it's been a process in the idea of Wild Roots. Mm-hmm. It first started back, I think it was 2018, Black Theater Workshop invited me to present. They were doing a joint showcase with the MAI.
Okay.
And I was asked to present a piece. I had 20-25 minutes to present something, and I was like, what am I going to do? Do I dance for 20 minutes? Do I sing for 20 minutes? Do I do poetry? And then I was like, wait a second. This is the moment, Jamila, where you can start to formulate what it is that you're trying to be. And, yeah. and that is this multi-interdisciplinary world where I can kind of use all of the artistic skills that I have mm-hmm. in this one moment to kind of tell a story. I wasn't sure what story I wanted to tell. So I was like, just the only story that I know best to tell is my own. Right. And that's the best story to start with.
Yeah.
My story, my family, you know, my process of figuring out who I am, what my roots are, mm. you know, and then the beauty and wildness of investigating my father and my mom, who they are as people, where they're from, you know, their experiences. And then how does that make me?
Yeah.
You know, because I am a part of all of that. So when I first presented it, it was just me talking about my life and my family, kind of just like what we did today.
Right.
And I incorporated, you know, music that I had written and poetry that I had done and choreography and it was really fun. And I even got my mom. I'm like, Mom, there's a little part in the piece where I'm going to start singing this song, and I'm going to need you to like do a, it's a call and response. Yes. So I'm going to need you to
respond. Remember I was there for that. Yes, I remember it. I remember it was, yes, I remember.
Yeah.
And your mom just broke out in the call and response, like, mm-hmm. right down in front. Yeah.
That's it. And it felt fantastic. I was like, yes, this is it. Like the things that I remember growing up being, you know, a little Black North American Caribbean kid, you know, that hybrid mm-hmm. first generation, you know, and what it was like being that. And yeah, I incorporated it all into that piece. And from there, I was like, you know what? This is the start of whatever it is I'm trying to do.
Right. Yeah.
I still didn't know, but I was like, whatever it is, this has something to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go with that. And so I just kept writing. And then it got harder. And I'm like, I mean, I've written poems and songs, but like, I'm trying to write a what now? I'm trying to write a play, a story. Yeah. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, just write. And it evolved. It went from being like, you know, a verbatim my life story.
Mm-hmm.
Something completely different, because I'm like, let it stem from me, but let there be an inspiration that others can see that it's reflective for everybody, you know. So yeah. It's definitely my roots, like you're gonna see pieces of my Caribbean identity and all of that sprinkled in there, but it's a very greater story now. Mm-hmm. With what the main character is going through and the things that she sees and how she sees them and the things being thrown at her.
Okay.
So it's going to be very interesting. Yeah. So I go ahead.
This collaboration between Playwrights Workshop Montreal and May, what is it exactly?
It was one of those things where I was like, okay, let me just get out there and see what's going on, what's happening in the community, mm-hmm. what calls for submissions are out there. And May is one company that I'm always close to. I mean, they were with us for Colored Girls, and you know, they always have great things going on. And Playwrights Workshop Montreal, I've actually done a few. They've had some micro residencies and programs throughout the pandemic that I was like, let me get into there, because yeah. I'm like, I'm writing and this is the best environment and people to learn from and be around.
Yeah.
So I got myself into some other programs as well. So then when I saw that there was a joint program with both the Mai and Playwrights, I was like, I'm
best
just gonna
of both
leap.
Worlds. Yeah.
This is part, it was one of those things like, I'm like, this has my name written all over it.
Mm.
I'd be damned if I didn't at least try to just apply and see what happens, you know? And I applied,
mm-hmm.
I got accepted. I got welcomed, and it's going to be fantastic. I'm very excited to get started with the continued learning and training. And so basically the program, it supports the creative journey of an artist who's trying to see through an idea, a project. And so, you know, they're help, their support, their funding will allow me to seek expertise mm-hmm. from individuals that I feel would help me really hone and master the skills that I need in order to make Wild Roots the production that I would love it to be. So I have mentors, my father being one, who I will be you know,
tapping
getting
into.
Information from yeah. and tapping into to help me get my projects out, as well as, you know, West Cannes. I've reached out to Shiata and Malika from West Cannes, you know, to get their cultural consultant consulting in as well, because, you know, culture, you gotta,
yeah,
these are the people, yeah, that you need, you know what I mean, as well as musically and vocally, Alejandra Nunez Mano from Toronto. She was a musical director for Black Mothers, okay. How Black Mothers Say I Love You, and we developed a beautiful friendship, and so I asked her as well to come on board and assist me, and I'm excited to just get in there, investigate, create, explore, you know, especially with playwrights, just getting the format of what I'm trying to say mm-hmm. out there and having the support, you know, of a team that will be able to guide me in the right direction.
Boy, it sounds like you know what you're doing.
Thanks.
Like, I mean, you said earlier that you just leap, but there seems to be a lot of calculation to your leap, and a lot of like, okay, these are my experiences. Now I can leap. So
I think it's personal calculations. It's mm-hmm. like I know what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. I know what I enjoy. I know what I've had. I know what I don't want.
Right.
And it's sticking to those things, you know, it's sticking to that and not wavering. I mean, sometimes I falter or sell myself short sometimes on some things, but for the most part, I'm like, again, it's that I have to do this. I have to try it.
Yeah.
I have to at least try. And I think once that focus is locked, it's like the things that make sense for what I'm trying to do, that's not going to counter my integrity or what I'm trying to say or my voice or any of those things that made me feel like I couldn't be who I've been fighting to kind of like be without having to like worry about or wear armor for. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to let anyone impede on that, because I've worked so hard to get to that place to just allow myself to be me and, yeah, and want the things that I want for myself. And I just really, I hold those boundaries really strongly.
Yeah.
And I stay, I'm stubborn that way. Yeah. Scorpio, like stubborn to like,
my
that's where like my weakness could
it.
Be my strength. You know, that's where like a weakness, yes, is my strength. And I'm, yes, like, I know that.
Yes.
So it's like, okay.
Yes. 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 I love it. I love it. Especially the boundaries part. Like, I find that, especially as artists, we don't set our boundaries strong enough sometimes. Like, and on so many different levels, like on mm-hmm. financial level, on like emotional levels. I say financial levels because like we don't set our price and we don't stick to it. You know, that's like number one. If,
yep,
there's anything. I feel like if I take anybody on as a mentor in the future, I'm gonna be like, listen to me, know your worth, and don't ever take less than, like, because, you know, as artists, we're like, you know, okay, working on projects and what have you, but the money's not necessarily coming in at the rate that we need, you know,
right,
'cause a cell phone soon cut off because it's mm-hmm. been overdue for 2 months, this soon cut off, light soon cut off, it's still summer so they can cut it off and I won't have light,
right,
you know, so we need to pay all, yeah, those bills, but a lot of the time we will sacrifice what we're worth for, you know, for that short term little $50,
yeah,
coming in here, $100 coming in here, that really and truly, you know, sometimes the long term sacrifice you need to.
That's it.
But
yeah,
that's awesome. Congratulations. Let me say that officially on the air. Congratulations. That's
thank
big
you.
That, you know, you know what you're doing and you've put yourself in the space, the right space in order to do it, and you've equipped yourself with the right people for you in order to allow you to get to that goal. We do have to take another break. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Soul Perspectives. We are speaking to Jamila Jade Dance, who is a multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary artist based in Montreal, Jojage. Keep it locked. You're listening to CKUT. on 90.3 FM. As always, every Tuesday evening, it's like, damn, the show just went so fast. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, you're going to have to listen back to the archive at 8:31 on CKUT.ca. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and our guest this evening is Jamila J. Joseph, who's an interdisciplinary artist based here in Montreal, Jojage, and is a past recipient of Black Theatre Workshop's Victor Phillips Award in 2002. She's been performing and creating, learning, telling her stories forever. Like, just, we'll just chalk it up to that. And she's currently working on a piece called, a play, theatrical fantasy, called Wild Roots, that has been the recipient of the Joint Support Artists from Black... sorry, not Black Theatre Workshop. We talk about Black Theatre Workshop so much. It's like
yeah.
A jumble. But no, it's from Playwrights Workshop Montreal and the May Montréal Art Interculturel that supported this work.
I also want to add that this project is produced with the support from the government of Quebec and the city of Montreal as a part of L'Entente sur le développement culturel de Montréal and from the Canada Council for the Arts.
There you go. There you go. Gotta get them sponsors and them.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Yeah, Jamila, so.
Yeah.
Before we go, because unfortunately every show has to come to an end, but what is a piece of advice that you would give someone who wants to do something that is not the norm? Because we spoke about, you know, the fact that there's kind of like spoken about imposter syndrome and like not feeling like you belong, and then, you know, having the natural talent but not necessarily having like the quote unquote training. What would you tell somebody who wants to do something that's completely out of left field and they're feeling super nervous about it? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, feel all the feels. That's the first thing, like, get that out of the way.
Yeah, you're entitled to that.
Know all the feelings that you're feeling and why are you feeling those things.
Right.
Then I would just say that you have to be, you have to believe in yourself, but you also have to be realistic with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, sometimes, a lot of times also our ego comes into play and it's like, oh, I could do this, I could do whatever, you know, and it's like, yeah, you can do anything you put your mind to, but it's like, you have to put your focus and respect in the places that it needs to be. So it's like, I'm like, I try to learn as much as I can and I try to get myself into as close to people or the books, the literature, you know, if there's courses somewhere that I could take, I will go and investigate and see what I could do, where I could do that. I also look at the different, I'm an overthinker, so I overthink all the possibilities of what a one thing can stream into, you know, as a dancer, you know, I had the naive thought at one point that I'll dance for the rest of my life, but then reality came to me, you know, my legs were saying another thing, my hip was saying another thing, you know, and it was like, okay, I had to be realistic. There's going to be a point in my life where I'm not going to be able to move. So then what am I going to do? If I can't dance, then what, I'm going to call it quits? No, I need to figure out what else I could do within that world that still allows me to get a part of what I still love and acknowledging that I've lost some of what I might not be able to get back. Just keep moving and look for every clue, sign that something else could be something for you. Don't feel like you can't. Always feel like you can. And then, you know, if life shows you some realities of it may not be feasible or it may not be this, then that's okay. And shift in another direction. Just, I want to say, stillness is important, but keep moving in the sense of your possibilities. Keep thinking of, okay, if that doesn't work, are there other things within that world that I could do? So it's like, okay, I may not be able to dance the way I want to, but I can choreograph. Okay, that choreography put me from the dance world into theater now, because now in theater, there's movement. They need movement coaches. They need movement mentors. I could find my way in there. Oh, okay, I love to sing. Cool. I could do this, I could do these gigs, I could write a song, I could do an album, I could write for other people, I could sing other people's songs, I could do, like,
that's that,
just
seeing,
just
all
ask yourself those questions, like, where can that one thing lead you?
Yeah.
So many things. And then just don't force yourself to have a right away answer, because that's just not how it works. You know, it's not just all gonna fall, like, I've had to live days, years. And it started to make sense. Like in 2017, I had no clue what I was doing. Now in 2021, it's starting to make sense, right? So just allow your space and opportunities to breathe, but then also know what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, what you're willing to sacrifice, what you're not willing to sacrifice. And I think when you have those staples set, then everything else, you'll be able to discern everything else that comes your way. Hopefully that was helpful and not too much.
Listen, I think anytime you can give advice to someone, even if it may not make sense at the time, that person will, like, it'll click at the right time.
Right.
Because I believe that everything comes to you in the timing, even if you don't understand it at that moment, you know, but something, some lock is going to turn in your mind. Some door is going to open. Like, I've had people tell me things years and years ago that, you know, one day I'm like, dang, that's what they were saying, you know, because you're maybe your experience, your life experience at the time that it wasn't enough for you to understand what was being said. I mean,
exactly.
You know, how many times do our parents tell us things and we're like, yeah, right. And then months later, years later, we're like, oh, that's what you were saying.
Yes.
All that time ago. Mm-hmm. You're like, and they're looking at you crossways like.
Yeah, I'm consistently apologizing to my parents. I'm like, oh.
I know exactly what you were talking
about. I get
you
now. I'm sorry for what I'm sorry. Yeah. I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Jamila.
Kim.
It's that time of the evening. It's the end of the show. Congratulations once again on everything.
You.
I mean, just everything that you've accomplished. I mean, between 2017 and 2019, the amount of productions and like significant productions that you worked on as a performer, you know, that is big. I know a lot of actors, present company included, doesn't get that amount of work done, you know, like, so that's big. Congratulations for that. Congratulations
thank you.
Wild Roots and the joint support artist program that you got through Playwrights Workshop Montreal and the May.
Yes.
Montreal Art Interculture, sponsored by, you know, Ville de Montréal, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera. Looking forward to this pandemic being over so that when you're ready to present it at,
that's right,
you know, whichever theater you decide to present it at.
Right, I'm going big.
Go big or go home. looking forward to seeing more from you.
Thank you.
Just thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I had a fantastic time. It's great talking to you. It's been a while, but it was great.
It has been
like
a while.
We never left.
No. It's like, what? What time? What time are you talking about? How much time passed?
Like, didn't I see you the other day?
Right, just the other day. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our evening. Please do go listen back to the archives if you missed anything. You can listen to our old shows as well on ckut.ca. This has been Soul Perspectives. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you have been listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Welcome, Beyonce, Latavia, Nina, Nikki, Kelly, and Ashley, the hip-hop rapping girls' time.
To make themselves smaller. We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much. You should aim to be successful, but not too successful. Otherwise, you will threaten the man. Because I am female, I am expected to aspire to marriage.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, cough into your elbow.
You know the tune. If you're celebrating with your loved ones this holiday season, make sure to keep following the sanitary measures. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
I'm Martin Carly, and I like to popularize science. Vaccination against COVID-19 for children aged 5 to 11 has begun. As parents, you may be asking if the vaccine is safe and effective. The answer is yes. The vaccine is approved by Health Canada and has been the subject of numerous studies involving thousands of people, including children. Experts also closely monitor any adverse effects that may occur after vaccination.
For more information, visit quebec.ca/youthvaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Tame Impala in concert. Tame Impala, Slow Rush Tour, an incredible transcendent live performance.
She just said, is it true, is it true, tell me now, it's a promise I can make, and I won't.
Tame Impala, Place Belle, March 10th.
True, I don't know, I don't care.
Get tickets now at evinco.ca.